Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I start with verse 3. So 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we're thinking this morning just about the mercies of God. God's mercies. And it's helpful, my dear friends, to have a good understanding of God's mercy and why he shows them. Because I would soon explain that it's easy to, if you don't understand, it's easy even to stumble over God's mercy. And yet God, in his kindness, has left us examples of his mercy in the Bible to encourage us. Because, you know, God is the Almighty God and is holy. God is over all. When we try to think of his greatness and majesty, sometimes it overwhelms us. Well, it makes us feel our smallness. It makes us see how petty we are. So it can sometimes put us off. If God is so mighty as such, how can I, a small creature, have anything at all to do with him? And one way God has acted to encourage us to come to him, even though he's a mighty God, is to announce his mercy. Is to speak a lot about his mercy in Scripture. So that in the Bible, the mercy of God is often put forward when God is dealing with men. So that we are mindful, become mindful of the fact that though he's a great God, yet he's such an approachable God. Because he's already dealing with us and involved in our affairs. Yepese yakasafa nyankopon ehumobro ho. Na yakase e dia ehia se yetiase ye san se. Nyankopon ehumobro mpono se wan tiase se dia scripture kano kra. Wutumi kra efom enam nyankopon ehumobro nti. Nti ehese yetiase. Na yekebio so se nyankopon ye nyankopon a oso. Em se obia okinkan ne Bible kakra no so we gina kakra so pese we dwini said e nyankopon ne kase eti ho a eya na ebo wo so e ma wo ti atinka so wo sakra wo ye ketikiti kra wo nyankopon enim nti ebetumi aba se enam se sa nyankopon esu se ebetumi akase nti nyankopon ye kase se dia me me den kra na makona enim sense me ya me yakito kra nti nyankopon mo wa she nkra no na okasa fa ne humo bro ho se de bebe hunu se nyankopon a onini mpa ewo nkita wudie dada na so owo nimpa na sitnemu ni ne ekoso nyinaemu nti irade humo bro e she ni nkra na so hwe pastor, if we look at the passage, he qualifies this mercy in a particular way. That would be the great emphasis, but the way it's cast makes us reflect on the general mercy of God. First, look at the verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, abundant mercy. The Greek word that is translated abundant, it's in the sense of either the qualitative aspect or the quantitative, in terms of number and in terms of quality. God's several individual mercies, as well as a kind of quality mercy which God shows. And so both of them are in mind. God's numerous mercies, God's act of mercies towards people. At the same time, you think of one which is the superior act of mercy. So that's what we want to do. We want to think of God's various mercies to us, and then that superior mercy, that nobler mercy, that higher mercy, which towers above them all, which if you have not tasted that, you have not tasted the very cream of God's mercy. And so, first of all, the general mercies. You see, nyankope humobro ne yane ye kan wa semfa. Humobro odani edi chen wa nyoma ekokosu ma akuma akupi wa yambre bomo. Kasa ne edi kasa ya de chrasye ewo Greek nmono. Yesa na o chenyen. Nyankope ni humobro bia nidye ebru ningi na aso. Nidye eye wanwa pa, emodu pa, nidye ekesi pa. But answer no, the general mercies first. And everyone has tasted this. Everyone has known something of God's mercy. Do we not have food? to it. Here we are. We have strength. We've been able to come to this place. We have a measure of security, don't we? We have intelligence. I think sometimes we take this for granted, but sometimes, you know, even in school days, you can remember these things. There may be a subject that you take so easily. And whenever that subject comes, the teacher puts maybe maths or science or maybe one of the reading courses. When the teacher comes and is teaching that course, you are on top, and you have no problems at all. And then you are amazed that you have a friend over here. He just cannot understand this kind of topic. Maybe he can't understand that mathematics over there. And you are sometimes surprised. Oh, Elizabeth, but this is simple. And when you're trying to explain, oh, just add this to this. And you get this. Well, Elizabeth, you really can't understand that. And you have to come to yourself and realize that, so it is a kind of a mercy that I can understand this. And she cannot understand this. Well, she'll be able to understand something else that you also cannot understand. So we have the mercy of giving in intelligence. When we remember that, it keeps us humble. And then we have health, at least a measure of health. They say everybody has some sickness. Everybody is sick one way or the other. But anyway, here we are. We have a measure of health. And we keep going, and we expect to have health, you know. So we get up and we think that we should be able to move about as before, and without anything happening at all. So sometimes when things cross us, we cannot do things that we used to do, we are surprised. I'm sorry to bring in these things so early. I know a man, and a believer, and he doesn't do this as a complaining at all. He's now into his 70s, and I remember just towards the latter part of his 60s, when I have encounters with him, he will constantly tell me, "Sister Pastor, to be an old person, what's the word he uses? He says that it's a challenge. It's to be an old person." He will say that several times, because here he was an active man. He wants to move about, feel free, and enjoy all kinds of things. Here he was, he couldn't do them. And he would tell me, old age is really a challenge. He didn't want to say old age is bad, I'm sure. When it's old age, it's a challenge. And so you realize how much, what a mercy it is that we have our strength. You are a young person. Your energies are still here, friends. We have friends. We have family. We have wives. We have husbands. They are of some help to us. Yes, sir, we have our challenges. We wish our children wouldn't behave in a particular way. We wish our wives or husband behaved in a particular way. Yes, this is understandable. And hopefully, we'll be praying for some improvements and things like this. But are there not things you enjoy also from the husband or wife? Are there not things you enjoy from the children? You see, these are mercies. You dare not overlook them, because they are from the Lord. They are from His hands. So says the Scripture to us. Yes, in your company, you more brand day, or then you do a new member brim. You wait there near ye di. You want more than it. You pull me till so. It's a sucker. You in your eye and you are ready. And so at Abba said, you want more day to me di di akona Abba kakran kakran. You in Juma. You want dream port to me dream port to me dream. Na otumi sua ade otumi hunu edwamu ne ekoso na otumi ehunu ne oseso ye fa ho e wadwun ye osese ya nete de binye se ya nete enyankopon humobra ye se erade kwame ne busia ye wo mma ye wo kunnum ye wo yernum ye se emu anka ye na hoka krawo ode ye yan koda na so ode de mi kunu na mi yere mi emu ancho betumi ai se ni se ne keka ho de en so who are fibi so betumi aka se well che oban wo ho bia betumi ai se ama mi obema no wo ho bia betumi ai se ama mi enyankopon humobra hwe na we mu adwene engu so. These are the mercies of God. Friends, what about our days? We have the sunshine. We have the rainy seasons. And one of the amazing things is that God has committed Himself to keep them going. After the flood, God said, "I will keep these things going to the very end of the world." And so God himself has undertaken to keep these things going. And God is giving us even a measure of order in the nations. We have an orderly country. Things are not as... We know that there can be people attacking here and there, armed robbery and things like this. But there's a measure of order here, isn't it? We have a government in place. You do not know that it is God's mercy. The Bible says it is. He puts governments there to ensure that society runs and things get on that are beneficial to us. These are God's mercies toward us also. And one of the striking things about God's mercy is that God delays his judgments. You know that? We deserve quick judgment. And God has several demonstrations of that in the Bible to show that that is what sin deserves. Every sin deserves a speedy judgment. But mercy holds back. Mercy, the mercy of God makes God say, I will hold back. When the Lord was going to give the land of Palestine to the Israelites, he told Abraham, their forefather, that the iniquities of the Amorite, the cup is not yet full. So he was going to be patient. And God was going to wait for 430 years for a nation that was sinning to continue sinning whilst God, as it were, looked on. Isn't that not amazing that a holy God so waits? Friends, if you listen to the news, you see how quick nations react towards another. One nation feels that the other nation is threatening. The other comes very quickly and he wants to show off his power too. That's the nations. You see, they want to flex their muscles, as they say, showing that they are powerful. Ah, God is all powerful and yet he's so merciful. We say that one of the things that makes God beautiful is that he has power to do everything and yet he's always under control. He decides when to do. He's not carried away. And that's the beauty. To have power to destroy and yet not to do it. To have power to judge and yet not to come swiftly upon your enemies and those who oppose you. This is mercy. This is the mercy of God. Yesi nyankopo ehumo bro. Yehunu wa sedi e nyankopo. Nimpa e yaswa dende. Yesi nyankopo atembo no. O chinche ansa. E rade enfema ententem. Enche yafata se, nyankopon odiba ntento, sando yi kronkron nyankopon. Ensi nyankopon echinchen, se diyebeya, ebimwa, omu, se se kwa mo ye aswade etienuno, nyankopon ebe se onwa botre, kakra. Friends, I want us to read, we don't often do this in our gospel services in the morning, but let me turn with you, dear friends, to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. And listen to these words. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? There's a very popular misconception. It is so popular. It didn't start in our times. It's been long, long time. Even in the days of Job, it was very clear. People always thought that if things are going very smoothly with me, and I don't seem to encounter troubles at all, and I'm getting the promotions that I want, I get the things that I desire, then God must be pleased with me. Well, friends, not necessarily. In the Bible, not necessarily. Because the Bible tells us that was the kind of problem the Jews had, and Apostle Paul was dealing with that briefly in Romans chapter 2. In effect, he was saying, the Jews, the Apostle Paul describing their sinfulness, the Jews thought, you see, we are a special nation. Look at all the favors of God over us. It shows that God is pleased with us. Apostle Paul is saying, no. You Jewish nation, because of your disobedience to God, your rejection of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, God is not pleased with you. They say, but look at us. Things are still okay with us. And Apostle Paul says this, you seem to be despising the goodness. Now, goodness of God is a branch of his mercy. You seem to be despising the goodness of God. You seem to be thinking that you can take God's goodness and say, I deserve it. I should have it. It's mine. It's mine. It's my portion. God should give that to me. And so that is why I'm receiving it. And Apostle Paul is saying, no, it is not so. God's goodness, God's kindness is shown generally to his creation. The Lord Jesus Christ said that God pours his rain upon the land of the rebel as well as upon the righteous. And so the mercies of God, these general mercies we've spoken about, are not indicators that I am in favor or God is in favor with me. They are not indicators. They are not. Apostle Paul says rather, they should move me to repentance. I should look upon them and be amazed at them and feel indebted toward God and say, where is this God who has been so kind to me and so merciful? Eyane bi mususu se, se bibia eko siye mamidia, echese nyankopon enisome. In fact, I have over the years heard a few persons that the only thing that persuades them that the life they are presently living, even when they are living in a particular open, obvious sin, that it is not that serious, is that things are going on well. Oh, he's sinning. He knows that he's entered into some kind of sinful relationship, but he's gotten his promotion. In fact, the way he came, he thought he shouldn't have come, yet he came. And so God is pleased with him. God is, after all, not disturbed by the kind of life he's leading. Oh, Apostle, what wrong? This is wrong. God is saying, I am being merciful to you. Would you repent? You see, God does not move people to repentance only by threatenings. There are threatenings in Scripture. But God also moves people to repentance by demonstrations of his mercy, showing them so much kindness, even though they're rebelling against him. Showing them so much goodness, even though they set themselves against him, so that their hearts may be melted down by gratitude. They may say, look at me, I am not worthy of all these things. And yet look at what the Lord has done. Look at his mercies toward me. I feel ashamed at my sins and at my rebellion against him, and of all the ways I've treated him, and I really want to abandon my way of rebellion and disobedience and now live to him. My dear friends, the mercies of God are intended to move me to repentance if I've not come to that repentance already. Eradi asam kechen se, nyankopo yungmo brono, nyankopo eshishe ne se, obobuwae me yaba ninche inuhomo. Said Ebeya, Ebeun said, in Yanko Ponchin, Humo Bruno, Ebemia Kumo Cra, Ajujo, Ewana Saw Demo, Yawaye, Wonwa, Nafidia Ben Yanko Pon, Uncle Sanchez, and you are Jin, sir. Said Bibia Cosi, ye, mammy dear, a chess in Yanko Poninis, so me pa. Dear friends, there is a text in Acts. I'm not turning to that because I want to get on very quickly. Apostle Paul tells us that the mercies of God, his kindness, these bestowals are witnesses of God. In Acts chapter 14, when the apostle was preaching in Lystra, he said that God gives you your rain and gives you food to eat, and these are witnesses. God, it's God's witness to you. It's a witness to you that he is there, and he is the one upon whom you depend. And he is the one you dare not rebel against. And so it is, my dear friends. Now, I come, please, sir, come with me once again to our passage, because I want to get to the nobler aspect of our mercy. So, 1 Peter chapter 1 there, and verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again to a lively hope. And so, abundant mercy. Friends, I now move on to the nobler acts of mercy, the higher, the best mercy. And it is here in our passage. My dear friends, if you can look at the passage there, because mercy, he connects it to something else. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, begotten us. The mercy of God has begotten us. We call that the new birth. It's the same language used in our James chapter 1. God who has begotten us by the word. By the word of God. Friend, this is the greater mercy. It is a superior mercy. It is this mercy that when you receive, you can say it's a sign of God's favor. It's a sign of God's pleasure with me. This mercy, it is called the new birth. The new birth. When I am born again, when the Lord works in my heart to wash away my sins and to put a new nature in me so that I no longer govern my own life, I yield my life to Him as my Lord and my Master. Self-government dies, self-rule finishes, and I say, He is my Lord, I am only His servant. I'm not here to seek my own interests. I'm here to represent Him. And I find my pleasure in pleasing Him. We call that the new birth. It's the work of God. He uses His word. He brings us to Himself and works that in us. The new birth. Oh, my dear friends, have you known that new birth? Are you born again? I'm not asking to just use the term. Are you really born again? Are you washed? Have you been cleansed? The reason why the Bible uses the idea of birth is just as when a baby is being born, there's that rush of fluids, water, accompanying that baby. In the same way, in the new birth, there's that washing of rebirth, says Titus chapter 3, verse 5. There's such a cleansing. My heart is purged. My sins are washed away. My sins, the love of them is taken away. I'm not only forgiven, I'm delivered from the grip of that sin. And I'm set free from its power. New birth. It's the greatest mercy. Dear friends, why? Because it's the costliest mercy. It costs God more than any other act of mercy to us. For God to show that mercy to us, He had to come through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and go to the cross of Calvary and bear the punishment for sin on Himself. He must let His Father lay upon Him the curse of our sins so that He would give us His righteousness. It is the costliest, my dear friends, and so it is the noblest of all mercies through the Lord Jesus Christ, our dear Savior. You see, in whom are brought in here, and what's the saying in any sa our forefrono? Sa our forefrono, young coupon, or hurrying a fee and bonny home. Now, Omey a year for fro, a son say, a fadia or Jimmy fee bonny to me, I say. He washes or hurry me, said ye bear, a man ye aqua emma sa bonny bill. Or hurry me. Said Ebeya, obey me fufro ankasa. When you umobra ebruning in aso. There's an aspect of the new birth also. It's not only cleansing, it's a renewal of the heart. Friend, this is the heart of the Christian message. I hope everybody knows this. The Christians say, without a new heart, no man will be willing to obey God. No man will be willing to please Him. We will all select a few things we like from the Bible and say, oh, ask for this and I'll do them. I'm even very strict about them and do them. But only new birth makes you entirely interested in everything God has said, everything God has commanded, everything that pleases Him, every one of them, only the new birth. Without the new birth, we never ever love God. We never love His ways. We are not interested in Him. We are not interested in His ways until He gives us that new heart, that new nature. It's spoken of in Ezekiel. I'm sure you know. In Ezekiel 36, He speaks of us, our God, putting a new spirit in us and moving us to do His will. Because before then, we are so resistant. We are so much against Him. We will not want to come to Him, friends. So, this is a greater mercy. New birth. Are you born again? Have you been washed? Have you come and found in the Lord Jesus Christ the right standing before God we need? And has God put in you a new nature, new interests, new joys, new principles, new attitudes, new ambitions in life? Has the Lord wrought that in you? That is what we call new birth. That is new birth. And the Apostle Peter tells us it is the nobler. Why is it a nobler blessing? Look at what he adds, friends. I just go through that quickly and I'm done. Look at the verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What a blessing! Lively hope. He calls that lively hope because all hopes in this world can easily be disrupted. Dear friends, have you thought of that? Every hope. All hopes, for one thing, death sits upon every hope. He can undo it. It can undo it any time, isn't it? Death can remove any hope at all. Hopes in this world can easily vanish because it could no longer be pursued. It could no longer be expected. Hope in this world, all other hopes cannot be lively. Some of the things we hope for and go after, we get them and say, why did I even make this a hope at all? Because it's not worth hoping for that. This is a lively hope. A hope that cannot die. Because it's in God himself. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the Lord Jesus Christ sealed it. Showed its reliability by his resurrection. When he rose from the dead, he ensured that that hope will not die. The hope that one day, it's in the next term there, I will come to that shortly. I was going ahead of myself. It's a lively hope because it is in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And what is that hope? What is that hope? What is it that we are hoping for? He uses another expression, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The hope is an inheritance that we will be made the heirs of God. We are heirs of God now if we are born again. We will be made heirs of God in the fullness of it. This hope is that an heir is somebody who possesses the things of another. We are heirs of God. Everything that belongs to God belongs to a born-again person. The thought is too high. Everything that belongs to God really belongs to the Christian. The one who has been born again, who has come to the Lord, and who has repented of sin, and the Savior has washed him and put a new nature into him. This person is made an heir of God, a possessor of the things of God, and he hopes to possess them to the full one day. This is the greatest thing. What does that mean? To possess the things that belong to God. Friends, it means this now. Let me mention something, what it means presently, and then we briefly about the future. Presently it means this, dear friends. It means that all the very best things that God, Almighty God, regards as best for us, he will grant us an enjoyment of them. Is that not the idea all around? What's God's best? What is God's best? I find it always interesting that we talk about God's best, and we use man's definition of best to talk about God's best. No, of course. Everything God purposes to give us. Friends, we put emphasis on God purposes to give us. Everything God purposes to give to His children, those who've come to trust Him, He will grant to us. He will grant to us everything that is truly profitable. Friend, there's no question about that. The question sometimes is that what I think is what I think I regard as best and I should be getting may not be what God may regard as best, you see. That's where the problem lies. But the truth cannot be denied that God on earth gives to the Christian the very best He wants to give him. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, that best may include trouble. You know, nobody will say that, isn't it? That best may include trouble. The Lord Jesus Christ said that in Mark's Gospel. And when He was talking about he that follows me, Peter had asked Him, "So Lord, if we followed you, what will we get? Having followed you, what will we will get?" And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "No one. There's no one who has followed me, leaving father, mother, houses, lands, that he will not get these things a hundredfold and with that persecution." What does Savior mean? Did He say every Christian will possess the things of earth and have abundance of things? That's not what He meant. He meant everything, these things, what they were intended to provide. We will get them. Friends, it is true. And God will make us heirs. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Sermon on the Mount said the same thing. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." God is the Lord of earth. Every true benefit, and let me stress this, every true benefit judged by the perfect wisdom of God will be granted us. We will not be those persons who go after these things and forget God. We will not be those who set these things as the targets of our lives. No, God Himself is the target of my life. If I've come to use my life to Him, He Himself is the very aim of my life. But He promises that anything that He judges to be the very best and profitable for me, He will grant that. That's what it means to be an heir. And it is true. And it is comforting. And it is helpful. And it is profitable to us. My dear friends, you know, unless we are born again, we cannot trust in God's goodness. We do not believe that how He deals with us is good. That's the problem. If I'm born again, then I will trust in God's goodness. And I can truly say that however He deals with me, He's dealing with me as an heir. That's the portion He regards to be profitable for me. That's the portion He, all-wise God, regards to be profitable for me. And that is a promise, my dear friends. We are made heirs of God. Those who possess the very things God is promised to give us. Oh, my dear friends. And so, I think I can go on. Look at verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And so not only here, but in heaven itself. In heaven, these things will be perfected. On earth, we taste a measure of that which will be ours in heaven. What will we taste in heaven? What will we taste in heaven? You know, all other religions, when they attempt an idea of heaven, it's always purely material. When they think of heaven, or I'm talking about the enjoyment of heaven, their enjoyment is purely and supremely material. You ask some religionists of some sort, that they think, what will make heaven wonderful? Oh, it will be a place where we would enjoy all kinds of food. And even others are even unclean and saying, we would have many wives to marry. And things like those, some people say, I'm sure you know. The idea of heaven. But my dear friends, once again, this is the foundation. In heaven, the noblest enjoyment will be God Himself. The highest enjoyment will be God Himself. It's Himself that makes heaven heaven. Friend, this is why if a person is not born again, he cannot go to heaven. Heaven won't be a pleasant place. We need our hearts changed. We need to be fitted for it. And that is why if a person is not born again, whilst he lives presently, he cannot gladly accept some of the things that God brings his way if they don't please his taste. He cannot submit to them. He cannot say, if this has come from the hand of the Lord, like Job's wife, if this has come from the hand of the Lord, I receive that because it is from his infinite wisdom. You can't do that. You won't do that. Because it requires a heart renewed, made new by God. My dear friends, this is the nobler mercy. To be brought to that point where you truly trust in the Lord. You are brought to know Him. And you are brought to have Himself as your greatest gain and your greatest joy and pleasure. And to be brought to the point where you are an heir of God because you look to the Lord to grant you according to His wisdom. We have one of our hymn writers say that beautifully. Give me on earth what seems to thee best till death and heaven reveals the rest. God decides what's best, and that He will always give. This is our hope. This is what it means to have relationship with God, to rely on God to give His very best to us. I'm sorry, I've left behind the chi a long time. The mechanic akrawo chi no mun e bro funu mun say say. Irade ji enko enyi da so a eti ase mu. Enye din da so a ewu. E san say we ase had enyi da so nyina be wuda kro. Enyi da so nyina bibia obi eni da so. Dakro, ebe yira, ebe free ho. But yeye yawe yemfufro no. Ye wenyi daswa emwo. E san se. Ye nam irade Yesu Kristo nuunya ne so. Ye nam irade Yesu Kristo nuunya ne so. Na ye timi sa nyi daso no. Enti, e said irade Yesu Kristo nwa ti ase no. Oma sa nyi daso no so ti hoda. Dene nyi daso no. Ye se. You need a sosisia and say, yeah, yawe and fofro, ewe radiesu Christo mono. Nyanko pon, maye, o maye ye ni nadidifo. Bibia nyanko pon nwankasa, onwo ye nyansini, na oye yemye kind, oye yemye no. Ode o susu se ebe yam for swame no ni e tibia ode ba manye. E ne chia se ye na didi fuampa. Bibi niwa nyanko pon susu se ebe yam for swame ya om to me emfema. Na om pese ode maso. Bro wado ye. Sa ma benin chain na ma betu radi Yesu Kristo nkwa dia. E radi de ba mami. Enti. Yes, in Yanko Pomia, and I did it for. Now, you need that son, so said, that crown so sorrow. Sir, I did you know, you're a shenuma. Now, sinner said, yes, heaven or heaven, and ye and you my ye konya, and ye need that so. And Yanko Pono and Cassa, ye been your sad domina, ye did there were no more, no Yanko Pon and Cassaba, ye nya dear Cassie. Friends, I want to touch on two other things and then I would end. Please look again in verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Friends, what's the special mercy we said is the new birth. When I'm forgiven, when I'm changed, when I'm made a new person. When God works in my heart to make me a new person, that's the nobler mercy. That's the highest form of mercy I can know. That God should forgive me my debt of sins. That He must bear the punishment of sin for me. That He must give me His righteousness and qualify me for heaven. that he himself will undertake to be my God, to determine my affairs, to determine the things that he will grant me and not grant me. This is mercy. This is noble mercy. And to be willing to give me his very best, according to his wisdom, according to his power, according to his kindness. This is mercy. You know, he sprinkles his gifts over the people of the world, but he deals directly, personally, only with those who have known his pardoning mercy, his pardoning grace. And this is the last, my dear friends. And then we close. Verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. When we are born again, when God changes us, we are also kept by himself. No one has the power to hold himself, friend. No one will remain a Christian more than a second if God were not to keep us. Christianity says, if I come to the Lord, if I repent of sin, yield my life to him, call upon him to save me, and he saves me, he himself also keeps me a Christian. And this is our encouragement. You know, friends, sometimes some persons would want to become, somebody may want to become a Christian and is afraid. Oh, but what if I go back to my sins? In fact, we have spoken to people like that before. What if I repent and I go back to my sins? What would happen? I think that I don't want to really trust the Lord now, because maybe I'll just relapse and go back to my former ways. What would happen? This is the anxiety of some. Friend, the promise is this: God will keep you. If I come to yield my life to the Lord, he will keep me. How does he keep? How does he keep? Once again, my dear friends, God keeps by changing us within. First, in seeing his wisdom, he keeps by changing you within. This is a poor illustration. You know, First Peter speaks about people who seem to have repented of sin and are falling back into their old lifestyle. And Peter uses this illustration. He says that it's like the pig that has gone back into the mire. And that's a humbling illustration. But the question is this: if you have a pig here and there's a mire there, what else do you expect of it? Where do you expect it to go? That's where it will go. And so, if God will keep a pig from falling back into the mire, he doesn't just raise a hedge, he changes a pig to be a human being, so that he doesn't like the mire. So the first, this is how God keeps, by first giving you a new heart, so that you would not want to love your sins. You will not want to love your sins. Doesn't mean you become perfect, you don't sin again. No. It means when you ever sin, it becomes your greatest trouble. You are so down. You don't use excuses anymore. You face up to them. You face up to what you've done. Because he's giving you a new nature that says, I don't want to rebel against God. I don't want to do against the mind of God. I don't want to sin against God. So that when I sin, it troubles me, you say. It troubles you above all. This is how God keeps. He keeps us within, so that we never go astray from him. Die kabio ne se nyankopon so de me banin chen aye se ono anse obekra me oye die no crying e se de kind se am wa crime no esese osesame ankasama koma and intin oye sa no so asesama koma dia enye die me pese me free nin chen inte se me bo pa se me free nin chen na se me hwe ase efri nyankopon chen a me kra ne be me yase me pese me be nyankopon chen bio inte ra debate to me akrami. And so, and then God keeps by the gracious interventions. He will constantly intervene in our lives to keep us from falling. He will keep us, friends. One of the beautiful ways God does that is that, friends, it brings me back to something that it's on my heart to keep stressing. To believe that God deals with His people with the utmost kindness, no matter what your portion may be. No matter what our portion may be, if I am born again, I can see the kind hand of God in it. Because sometimes He does that to keep me from pride. And once He keeps pride at bay, I am safe. Yes, in your cup, dear, only me, yeah, obey a trimming in an and then I am ye, say, ye no. Emma or ye and friends are whom I saw a free ho. And now claim you know be a woman and sway free ho. No, yes, I am for Sumaye. And so He keeps us by His power. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Oh, my dear friends, this is the nobler mercy. God's mercy above it all, the new birth. Have we known it? Is everybody one here born again? Has the Savior washed you? But have you gone to Him? Have you gone to ask Him to wash you? Have you felt your uncleanness? Otherwise you wouldn't feel a need for a wash. Have you felt your uncleanness? And have you gone to Him? Only what He did on Calvary, by dying on the cross of Calvary, that sins may be washed away. Have you gone to Him, my dear friends? If you've not been washed, you are not born again. Then He gives a new heart. What does the new heart feel like? It is dominated by a desire to please God. I want to please God, that's all. Not in some selected things, but in everything. You feel yourself a servant under Him. That's the new birth. I'm no longer a master. A big person in my own eyes, doing as I want, doing as I choose. I am under His rule. I am under His government. And I want to please Him. Say, Radima mi akuma fufra. Eche se ma ba mi nchen wa hrumi. Enti. An sana eba hrumi. Gisa mi ansu matin kase. Mi hu en eye si. Ma ma ba mi nchen. So wa hrumi di obama mi akuma fufra. A new heart that makes me willing to please Him in all things. Then, friends, these blessings will be ours. They follow. You'll have a lively hope. You can look forward to a day when you have inheritance of God. You have evidences of them now. God will deal with you as a son. He will deal with you with His very best here. All His dealings with you will prove profitable and good. Friends, even if for a time they don't seem so, you will see them to be so eventually. And they'll be perfected in heaven when we will find in God our all in all. And we'll find Himself as our supreme treasure and possession, God Himself. Oh, my dear friends, I want to close. Why have I spoken on this, friends? I say this and I am done. Why have I spoken on this? Because, my dear friends, two things. It's so easy to misunderstand God's mercy. It's so easy to ignore it. And it's so easy to miss the greatest of mercies. Ubetumi ebueni egunyankopo ehumo broso. Na ubetumi ashiri se ehumo brona ebru ninyina so no. Friend, that would be very sad. That would be very sad. Because I illustrate this and I'm done. Please imagine that you have a relative in the village. And this relative, he has other, maybe you, or other members of the family living in Accra or some other bigger city. And you have to transfer money through somebody to that person in the village. You know, these days of mobile money, perhaps my illustration is really is undermined. But just imagine it for the sake of the illustration. So that money has to be sent through a person to that member in that remote village. And the person that you send the money to, when he goes to the place, you give him money for his transport and give him money for whatever inconveniences he will bear in order to get the money to that person. Now, you've given the member of that relation in the village somehow a way that he can or she can contact you when he receives that gift. Okay. So this person goes, you give this person, say, 2,000 Ghana cedis to be given to that relative in that village. And forgive me for the illustration, this person, after a while, turned out to be a liar. So you give him 2,000, he goes and gives your relative 200. And then he gives the 200, and then he says, because of my own kindness, you know, I want to add this. And so he adds something up to about 300 or so. But the person living in the village is in such a poor situation that the 200, the 300 is luxury. And so he enjoys it. He's happy. Because everybody in the village lives upon, say, 50 Ghana cedis a month. She is living on 300 Ghana cedis. So what do you think she feels? She's okay, isn't it? She enjoys it. She's the wealthiest person in the village. Once her money comes, she's the king or queen in the village. But in reality, what is happening? In reality, dear lady, somebody is stealing away so much more than you receive. If you knew, if you contacted your relative in Accra, you would have known that no, you actually were being sent 2,000 Ghana cedis. And so something is going astray. Friends, this is my point. We receive the mercies of God. Health, job, family, we should be thankful, as we've said that. And we are happy with that. And it's all we are asking for. For most people, that's all they're asking for. This is all that I need. This is all that, if there's any God at all, this is all that he should give me. And poor creature, you do not know there's a far bigger blessing. You do not know there's a far nobler blessing that God actually has a far bigger blessing for us. The Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that he sent him down to us to bring us to himself, to have communion with him. You miss this, oh dear friends. Dear friends, seek that you are born again and you have a part in this eternal inheritance. Let